So anyway, Proverbs 3, and, you know, God pretty much ruins a lot of stuff because he always has the teaching and the manifestations and a lot of the prayers that were on. So if this sounds familiar, it should. Proverbs 3, this is entitled, Talk to God. You can trust him. You know, he's not going to put fake news out there about you. Proverbs 3, 5 is where we're going to start. A very familiar scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. So that's a voice, I mean, that's a verse that people voice a lot, but do you really do it? Or how many times do we give it to God and then decide to do what we want? Trust in the Lord with but half your heart.
No.
All right, with all your heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding, even though you're the biggest, the baddest, the coolest, and all those other things. You know it all, and you've got all the answers. No, you don't have any. So, that takes us back to trusting in the Lord. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thy own understandings. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And you know what he'll do? He'll rightly divide your path. He will help you in the direction you need to go. You'll just know, because there's lots of paths out there. There's many ways to get to Chicago. But the right one will be there with the right light bulb above it. So you'll know that's the right house to buy, or the right job to get, or the right airline to get on, and all those type of things like that. So trust in God. Lean. You're not going to be able to figure it all out. So let's trust in him, and he will direct your path. And verse 7 then puts it back in the perspective of don't be a wise guy. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil, and you're going to have health to your navel and marrow to your bones, and things will be much better because you'll do it. You'll have success. And when you get tired of having success, you'll have more success because you're trusting God. Go to 1 Peter 5. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And we read, why should we trust in God? Isn't he too busy taking care of the big things in life to care about us? So many people think that. They're just so insignificant in the world. But God made the world specifically for each and every one of us. And he devised a plan and a path. And when we stay on it, good things happen, even though it may be winding. And we might find things in, you know, obstacles along the way. Like you're in a Mario game or something. You know, things like that will happen. Things will pop up. So you just got to keep moving. 1 Peter 5, 6. Well, we'll pick it up in 6. 1 Peter 5, 6. Yeah, in light of what we just read, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why? That God may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon God, because he really does care for you. And that's concerns. The word care is the word for concerns. Cast all your concerns. Are you concerned today? Ha! Cast it to God. And you know how you cast things, right? You just kind of drop it right there. Oh, cast it! Give it to him! And don't take it back. Throw it away! Even if you got a sore arm, throw it away. So, and again, the key to wanting to do that is humble yourself. God has the answers. So why not get in step with him and keep moving that way? Why are you so successful? Why are great things happening? Well, it's because I'm doing it God's way. It really helps. I can retire early. Ephesians 2. He cares. All right, Ephesians 2. We can trust him because he cares. Why does God care? Well, ask him. And that's the whole point of this. Ephesians 2:12. He's not too busy with everything else to want to help his children. I only got two, and trying to keep on top of, you know, on top of helping them can be a lot of work. He can have millions of them, and he can really help each and every one of them. Why? He's God. Ephesians 2, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, you were an alien. So I just want to point out that you were an alien at one time. Oh, no, aliens from the Commonwealth. Sorry. You can't rightly divide the word in parts, small parts like that. So we were aliens from the Commonwealth. You weren't just an alien. All right, so at one time you were without Christ, and then you became an alien from the Commonwealth of Israel. You were a stranger from the covenants of promise. You had no hope, and you were without God in the world. So you lived like Monday morning life all the time. Life really wasn't very good. Well, do you want to stay there? Is this your job description, right? Without Christ, I'm a stranger. I got no promises. I got no hope. I don't have God in this world. And boy, is life great. No, it's not. All right, so let's keep reading. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, you've been made near by the blood of Christ, because he is our peace. The Aramaic is, he's our peace treaty. Christ is our peace treaty. He's a peace treaty between God and mankind and Jews and Gentiles. We signed a big contract, and since it's God involved in the whole thing, and Christ did the action of doing all of this, they're not going to break the peace treaty. So, he is our peace treaty. He has both made both one, broke down the middle wall of partition between us. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. So, making peace. It's that ultimate soldier of Captain America. The first time he pops out, there he is. One new man, ready to, you know, protect America. And then they had to sell war bonds. All right. We'll keep moving through here. Yeah. All right. So, one new man, though. And that he might reconcile both Jews and Gentiles unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, he came and he preached peace to you. All right. I'm bringing peace. Peace is a good thing. Would you like some peace? I'm bringing peace. That's what he did. And to those who are far off, that were the Gentiles, and then who were near, the Jews. And verse 18 is the verse we were trying to get to, and we finally got there. Verse 18 says, for through him, for through the accomplished works of Jesus Christ, we, Jews and Gentiles, both have access by one Spirit, same Spirit, unto the Father. You have God's phone number. He's on speed dial in your phone now. And he's always listening. You have direct access to the creator of the universe, who cares very much for each and every one of us. And he has time for each and every one of us. Because he cares. He cares. He's concerned about his children. Not just those that ride BMX. All of them. So, we have access via the Spirit to God. What do? If you've got access? Use it! Right? Wouldn't that, you know? So you've got a get-out-of-jail-free card to talk to God at all times. That's a wonderful thing. There was a program that was started, and I asked different people who went in if they had talked to the person doing it. And they go, oh, I've been too busy to talk to the person. Well, isn't that part of the whole reason you're in this program? Is to be able to talk to that person? Oh, no, I'm too busy. Do we get too busy to talk to the head of our program? God, you've got access to him after all. All right, Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 is going to say the same thing, but it's going to take it up a notch. Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 is going to tell us, let us, that's all of us here, all let us, everyone, all the children of God, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. So when this access you have, there was a place we heard about downtown Colorado Springs, and it was in an alley, black door, it said 15C on it. That's it, little light bulb. We were told that on the other side of that door was a cigar bar. Now, that not mean much to most of you, but it meant something to us. So we're standing out there going, is this really the place? You know, it doesn't look quite right. You know, it's an alleyway, it's downtown, it's one of those situations where it just looks like the back of going into the back room of another place. So we took the leap. We opened the door. And you know what was in there? A cigar bar. It was great. because we had cigars with us, and it had a bar, and we had money, so we could enjoy it. But we stood out there, and we didn't come boldly in because we weren't quite sure. Okay, you have all free access to your own godly cigar bar. I just want to make sure you're aware of that. All right, that's what we're dealing with here. We have direct access that you can come boldly straight to the throne of God, is what it says here. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. We found grace, even though it's her birthday, to help in time of need. All right, so we have access. We can boldly, you know, after we've been there once, guess what? We always went right in through that door very boldly. Not that we came back very often. But it was one of those situations where we could boldly come. So as you develop your confidence in God, you know, he says, I care for you. You got access to me. You can talk to me. I'll help you. You can trust me. You can even find grace there. And once you've been there, you kind of get used to the surroundings. You kind of like it there. God's there trying to help you. You can talk to him. He'll talk back even. And that's the good part of all of this is when you have a conversation with God, you can have a conversation. If I was having a conversation with Tiffany, I would do all the talking. No, it's a conversation. So when you talk to God, you come boldly to the throne room of grace. What will God do? Shut up, I'm too busy. No, God will be right there saying something, answering you, helping you, going, don't do that. or on the other hand, says, yeah, go ahead. Or how about trying this one? Or whatever. God is there. God is helpful. You know, the principal key in a successful Christian life is fellowship with your Heavenly Father. That hasn't changed. Fellowship with the Heavenly Father, principal key. It's the secret if you want spiritual happiness, if you want power in your daily life. Go to Hebrews 13. So, fellowship with your Heavenly Father. God always has time for you. You don't have to ring a bell to wake him up. He's always there. You don't even have to push the door open. Just start talking. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation, let your behavior be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All of us are in different stages of our life. So we should be very impatient about going to the next phase of our life. Like, I'm finally going to graduate high school. I've got one more year left. I'm finally going to get rid of this. No, God is saying, enjoy today. Enjoy now. Talk to me. Spend time. I will be there for you today and when you graduate and when you turn 21 and all the other things that are coming up in life. God will be there for you. Even as you look for new jobs or new houses or other employments or even friends. So God is saying, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So then we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord's my helper. God's a helper. This is a word that ties into, Natalie, in Genesis, where Eve was brought to Adam, and Adam said, thank you, God. And then Adam said, this is a helper. And it doesn't mean that Eve was any less as a helper, because it's the same thing here as the Lord is our helper. Are we any less? I mean, you know, is God less because he's our helper? No. And the spouse isn't any less either as a helper. The Lord is my helper. That is a great thing because we all need help. The older you get, the more help you need. Sometimes just walking up the steps anymore. So, John 15. Go to John 15. All right. We can boldly say the Lord is our helper. God cares. God helps. God's got lots of help. He's got a cattle on 1,000 hills. And what that really means is he's got cars on 1,000 hills. He's got cell phones on 1,000 hills. He's got travel arrangements on 1,000. In other words, cattle was big back then. Today, there's a lot of other things. But he's got all these hills, and he's got whatever you need on one of them for you. All we got to do is ask, boldly claim them, God, where do we go? What do we do next? And sometimes you start living life and things just fall in place. Like, hey, let's go look at this place. Oh, look, let's talk to this guy. Oh, he knows us already. John 15. Hey, we can move out soon, sooner than we thought. Yay. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He is the walrus. There's certain people that would understand that joke. Yes, exactly. It's a Beatles reference. Thank you. He knows it. All right. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So do you want a meaningful life? Well, you better put Christ in it because everything else doesn't matter. So we put him in there. But here's the key in there. He that abides in me. Many, many moons ago, I took a class on the Bible. And about, well, I don't know, 2 weeks later, I was talking to one of the individuals who ran the class for me. I said, I just don't feel, you know, as excited as I did back then. And going through this class and all the great things. And he goes, well, when was the last time you picked up your Bible? Oh, you mean I have to keep reading it? You know, he who abides, he who stays there, he who continues the fellowship, he who continues to go to God, he continues to be blessed by what God has to say. So there's a little bit of effort involved. It's not just a one-time deal. You got your ticket, you got your access, but you got to do something with it. It's always available. But you have to do something like praying into Caitlin. Okay, Romans 8 now. Here we go, Romans 8. And in Romans 8, we see a problem. Romans 8, verse 1. Because this is what our adversary, who doesn't like us, wants us to. Anybody perfect? No, okay, good. All right, her sometimes. Okay. All right, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are born again, who walk in the greatness of what Christ Jesus accomplished on their behalf. You don't have to condemn yourself. So, do you live life perfect? No, that's part of being perfect and living life perfect. No. So, condemnation then is a byproduct then, and then what do you do with it? Ooh, I love condemning myself. And then I don't get anything accomplished, and I can blame it on somebody then. No. No condemnation. Condemnation is the fruit of guilt. You know, it just continues to build. You don't need to condemn yourself. You don't need to condemn anybody else. You know, condemnation will keep you out in the alleyway, and you won't go in and enjoy the cigar bar. So you just stop it. You don't need to go there. We're not perfect. You're not going to live a perfect life. You're not going to even find anybody perfect. So I always bring that up at, you know, when people are getting married too, so they, you know, they understand that the other person is not perfect. So you can warn Eric, that'll be one of the things. All right, 1 John 3. Condemnation will shut the door on receiving God's benefits. Why? Not because God has moved, but because we don't trust him. We stop trusting him. And 1 John 3 lays it out there for us. 1 John 3. All right. Verse 11. No, verse 21. 1 John 3:21. We read, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. We just read in Romans 8, 1, we would have no condemnation. But if our heart is condemning ourselves, we're going to have problems. But if we allow, it's one of the easiest, it's one of the greatest days of your life when you realize you're not perfect. That it's okay to make mistakes. That it's okay that things aren't going to happen and everything's going to be, you know, the Waltons all the time. You know, just perfect. Everything's perfect. It just doesn't, life, that's not life. You know? So if our heart condemn us not, if we're not condemning ourselves, then we have confidence towards God. Then we will talk to God. Then we'll have access. We'll use our access. And whatsoever then we ask, verse 22, we're going to get. You know, some of you were children at one time, and you had parents, may still have parents. And then at Christmas time, you could ask, and then there would be all the things you wanted, right? Your Schwinn bicycle and your red wagon and all the, okay, this is the 50s ideal Christmas, okay? that type of thing. All those different things were all there. Well, here it is. God is ready to give, but condemnation stops us from even asking God. Whatsoever we ask, we're going to receive because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Don't let condemnation stop you from getting all the things that God has in store for you. 2 Peter 3, and we've got one other verse after that. So a couple pages back, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." God is not slack concerning his promises. 900 promises. He's not slack. He'll utilize them. They're good ones. How many of them do you know? That's really the key. How many of these do you live? How many of these do you want to? How much access do you use? God's not slack. He's listening. We close in Isaiah 55 with a great reminder about God. Isaiah, Jeremiah, 55. And we will pick it up in verse 6. Isaiah 55, 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found." There may be a day when God just doesn't show up. That's not what it's talking about. He's always around. He's always listening. So seek him out. Call upon him. He's near. "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him and to our God, for God abundantly pardons. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And that's a good thing. God's thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. So his are better. We ought to tap into his. For, verse 9, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And that takes us back to the pathway. He'll direct our paths as we talk to him, as we seek him, as we trust him. He'll guide us, and his ways are much better. We're at the parade, right? You're standing at, you know, the Avenue of Americas and Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, and it's Macy's Day, it's Thanksgiving, and here comes the float. All right, it's Ballwinkle. And here he comes. You're right by the corner. But you don't know Ballwinkle's coming yet because he hasn't come across the corner yet. You're waiting. There it is, Ballwinkle. Yeah. Okay. Ballwinkle's really cool. Now, here's the thing. What's that?
I agree.
Right. And then, you know, here comes a penguin, you know, coming next. But you don't know that. But if you're in the helicopter, above, you see every single, all 52 of them. You got the picture. That's God's view. And God knows what's coming around the corner. And he can say, "You better run." Or, "Hey, you're going to like what's coming around the corner." Or, "Come on, trust me. Don't go get a hot dog right now. Stay right here. I got something good for you." And that's what God's going to continue to do. He's going to keep the parade coming, and you get to enjoy life now. Or you can just condemn yourself and say, "Life sucks, and you know, everything, nothing ever goes right for me," and live that kind of a life. Why? Jesus Christ died for you. He gave us eternal life through what he accomplished. Enjoy it. You only get one shot at it. You know, you really do. You only get one shot at it. So give it your best shot. And the whole key then is trusting God, talking to God, and allowing God then to lead, to help, to lead, because he really does care. So, Father, thank you for being a God who cares, a God who wants the best, and that you gave us a book to lead us in a pathway of having a more than abundant life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.